good people waiting.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of religious science to make us aware that we are that opportunity, meaning that this thing that we call God, this thing we call the universe, this thing we call intelligence and wisdom is operating in us and through us, that we are one with it, that we absolutely are God incarnated on this planet. And that's what we want to get into our consciousness, into our thinking, that we truly are God, that we have a creative power within us, and that we can create our reality. And we create our reality by using our mind, by using our thinking. We go back to the saying of Henry David Thoreau, who said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So, what are you thinking about? What is going on in your consciousness? Are you putting the thoughts into your head that you want to think? Or are you allowing the world to put thoughts into your head that you don't want to think? But you allow those thoughts from the world to come in and you start to believe them. Do not believe the world. You can be in this world, but don't be of this world. The world is always going to teach blame. It's always going to teach scarcity. It's always going to teach all the things that you don't want. It is never going to teach success. It is never going to tell you that you're a wonderful human being, that life is great, that life is marvelous. It's going to tell you that life is a struggle. And life is not a struggle. Life is only a struggle if you start to believe that and if you make it so. This thing called God only knows good, only pours down or up or through, only good and goodness all the time. Anything else that comes into your life that does not resemble good is of your making. That is not of this thing that we call God. Because God can only do goodness and only bring goodness in. That's why we say that God is love. And that's a hard one for us sometimes to understand, that God is love, because here again, very few people absolutely love themselves. That's why we do that little thing, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. I don't know how many clients I've had over the years, and when I tell them that, they have a very difficult time grasping the idea that they're allowed to love themselves. But you have to learn to love yourself if you're going to learn to love anybody else. And you've got to learn to love yourself if you're going to learn to love this thing that we call God. It's done with you. It's done in your mind. It's done with your consciousness. Most of the trouble in the world today is people are out seeking love outside of themselves or seeking love in all the wrong places. You have to seek love within yourself. You have to start to fall in love with yourself. When you fall in love with yourself, the world will fall in love with you, and other human beings will fall in love with you. People think that if they don't love themselves enough, if they find somebody who really loves them, it will cover up that black hole in them. It will not cover up the black hole. Only you can fill that hole that's inside of you, if you happen to have a hole inside of you. So, that is one of the main tenets of this teaching, is to learn to love yourself. Learn that you are number one in the world. That does not make you conceited. That does not make you a mean or a wrong person. I was taught when I was growing up that it was conceited. Who do you think you are? You cannot love yourself. You must love other people. But you can't love other people if you don't love yourself. And that's why we have so many difficulties in the world. People are trying to fill this hole that's inside of them. Go into your own self and start to love yourself. See all those wonderful qualities that you truly do have. Everything that I talk about and the qualities, everyone has those qualities. They're intrinsic within you. You came to this plane of action whole and complete and perfect with every quality that you need to succeed in this world. So, with that said, does everyone have one of these little things? I'm going to go over this quickly. They're right there, this group. That's the wrong group. That's this group, people. The one that says, let go and let God. So we don't have Andy here to hand this stuff out. The topic for the month is movement in mind, and it's always going to be a movement in your mind. And one of the movements in your mind is the idea of letting go and letting God. And you've heard this. If you've been to any church or any 12-step program or anywhere, they always say, let go and let God. And that's why I tell you that I'm the Fun and Entertainment Committee, and God is Ways and Means. You have to let God do its job. So let's go through this. I rest in the presence of God. You're always going to be in the presence of God. There's no other presence to be in. The first step is letting God direct my life, is letting go of worries, concerns, and frustrations. You see, if you want movement to happen in your mind, it's very hard to have movement going on and thinking the right thing if you're going to be worried, if you're going to have all these concerns and frustrations going on. You must clear the mind of those things. Remember that one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, worry would not add a cubit to you. Worrying doesn't add anything, but we were taught growing up, or I was taught growing up, if you worry about something, it makes it important and it'll help the situation because you're doing something. Well, you're doing the wrong thing when you're worrying. It's not going to get you anywhere. I release what I've been fretting over, what has consumed my thoughts and drained my energy. Consumed your thoughts and drained your energy. That is a movement in mind. We have to keep our mind clear so that this mind can operate the way it is supposed to operate and bring into your life the things that you want. But if you're consumed with all these worries and frustrations and so forth, it drains your energy. And we've all gone through that. And we think, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so... Because you're draining your energy. And this whole thing is done with energy, it's done with thought. Where thought goes, energy flows. You must remember that. But where thought goes, energy flows. If you have an ache or a pain in your body, if you put thought into it and send the energy there, that ache and pain will go away. But if you're consumed with worries and doubts and fears and all that, your mind is not clear. It cannot do that for you. So it's our job to clear the mind so that we can do what we want. And so many people's minds are muddled and they're thinking about the wrong thing all the time. So we learn to think right thoughts. I only allow thoughts into my consciousness that heal me, bless me, and prosper me. And I say that to myself several times a day. Is this thought healing me? Is it blessing me? And is it prospering me? If it doesn't fit into that category, I do not think it. It then must go back to the nothingness from whence it came. So check those out when you're having a thought. Say, what is this thought doing? Because all thoughts go someplace and do something. And most thoughts go into your body and cause all kinds of damage at a cellular level. And we do not want that happening to us. We want to be able to stay absolutely vital throughout our entire life. Okay? As I let go of tension and allow my body and mind to relax, I feel the burden lift from my shoulders. Lift that burden from your shoulders. Remember, if you are carrying anything, let it go. Give it to this thing that we call God. Give it to this thing that we call God. When I have a very bad problem that I cannot figure out myself, I sit down, I think about that problem, and I toss it into white light, and I watch it explode. That's all I do. Then it's gone. You just toss it. That's throwing the burden onto this thing that we call God. God can handle the burden. You can't. You say, do not do that to yourself. I gently release any concern, making room for the free flow of God in my life. You see, you must clear the way for God to come in. Remember, I tell you, God is so polite, God will not butt in on anything. If you're worrying and so forth, God's not going to butt in there. You know, and that's another thing with our mind chatter. You know, our mind chatter is going on so much, God couldn't get a word in edgewise. God couldn't get a word in edgewise. So you must calm your thinking so that you can allow this thing that we call God to come into your consciousness. And you will receive a completely different answer than you had originally thought. We're all going to have problems. We're all going to have difficulties. But we don't have to keep them forever and work on them. You have to release them and allow this force, this power, this intelligence, this thing that we call God, which I have no idea what that is, by the way, to do something. But I know that it works because I try all this stuff. If it doesn't work, I don't try it. And if it doesn't work, I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell you about it. I focus my thoughts on God and on this sanctity of hope, peace, power, and potential within me. Think of the potential within yourself. We've heard that all since the 70s. If anyone was around in the 70s, we had the human potential movement. And that was all about all the potential that was inside of you. And to bring that potential out, I went to one, well, I don't know how many years ago, and they referred to it as a sleeping giant. There's a sleeping giant within us, but we never wake that giant up to allow it to do anything. You have to wake the giant up that's inside of you, and it can take care of all this for you. So wake that giant up. Do something with that. I find this sanctuary as I remove the burdens I have built through personal strife. We build a wall with this personal strife and so forth. We're always building up all these things so that this power that we call the universe can't get through. We have to knock down the walls. We have to knock down all that and relax. Let go. Let God. As I let go and rest in the presence of God, I am assured and at peace. That's what we want. Everyone thinks that they want money. They want this. They want that. But what most people want is peace of mind. You would like your mind to stop nagging you all the time. You would like to, say, sit and just be at peace. Just be and know that you are a magnificent human being. A magnificent being. That you don't have to put up with all these problems. You can let that go. You can let go and let God handle these things for you. I've told you many times that most people know that God is mighty. But very few people know that God is useful. You must use God. You must use God. People say, oh, isn't that awful? Oh, that's like using somebody. No, that's what God is all about, being able to use it. Otherwise, what good is it? What good is God if you can't use it? So use that and allow it to come through you. Allow it to remove these different things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Remember, most of the things that you want, I tell you, people want money, they want prosperity, they want abundance and all this stuff. All that stuff is side effects. They're the side effects of your thinking. So you have to change your thinking. So you seek first the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is peace. The kingdom of heaven is order. Seek that instead of the other things that you're looking for. Don't seek the side effects. They will be added to you. Many people say, oh, Dallas, I know all about your teaching and so forth. You teach positive thinking. I never teach positive thinking. I teach you to think positively. But that's a side effect of this teaching. That's a side effect. You just pick that up and you realize, oh, I feel better if I'm thinking positive thoughts. So, this teaching makes you think positive thoughts. Teaches you how to think positive thoughts. It teaches you how to think, not what to think. So if you want a positive thinking and so forth, there are other people that teach that. There are other people that teach positive thinking. But if you seek first the kingdom of heaven, all these things that you're waiting for, looking for, will be added unto you. So it's always being and staying in this thing that we call the presence of God, realizing that wherever you are, God is. In unity, they use the expression, there's not a spot where God is not. And so many people think, oh, well, God's in church, or God's here, God's there, but God's not here. God's everywhere. This power, this force, this intelligence, this wisdom is everywhere present. And it can be used by everyone. Remember, God does not show favorites. If I can do something, you can do it. So, I just use these different things. I experiment with it. And if it works, I use it. If it doesn't work, I let it go. But mostly, I let go and let God. I let go and let God. I've told you many times, people come to me for advice and so forth, and I have no idea what they're asking for, number one. And I have no idea how to heal them or whatever they want from me. But I know that God does. So I let go. I let go of what? My bloated nothingness. I let go of my ego and I let God do the work. Let God work in your life. That's what this whole thing is about. So that you don't have the strife and the worry and the frustrations that other people seem to have. That is not what we were brought to this plane of action. When we decided to carnate on this plane of action, we decided to carnate on this plane of action so that we could learn to love ourselves, so that we could be filled with joy and happiness and all the positive things in life. Not all the other stuff that people concentrate on all the time. So think of that in your life. So with this idea of movement of mind, you have to make your mind move. You have to do something with your mind. I told you the story about my 90-some-year-old aunt who has made her transition. And she was always happy and always wonderful and lived by herself. And I said to her once, Aunt Catherine, how do you do this? Now, she didn't know religious science, if it would have hit her on the head. But she discovered in her own self, she said, oh, that's quite easy, Dallas. I control my thinking. She controlled her thinking. She didn't allow herself to think any thoughts she didn't want. Who was somebody else that you know that was like that? Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. I won't think about that today. I won't think about that today. It's a choice, people. Thinking is a choice. What do you want to think about? What do you want to think about? And remember, when you make that choice, what you're thinking about, you're going to bring about. You're going to bring it about. That is the whole idea of this teaching, that your mind is creating something all the time. It is creating your life. It is creating your reality. But you have to think correctly. Then this thing, the universe, this thing called God, will match every thought that you have. And it will make those thoughts bigger. Now, here again, God doesn't particularly care what you are thinking. But God will match what you're thinking. So think about that. That's the choice that you have. People think that God changes minds. God does not change minds. You must change your own mind. Many people think that they can change the mind of God and make God do something. You cannot change the mind of God. You cannot change anybody else's mind. You can only change your mind. You can only change your mind. So let me talk a moment about this idea of movement in mind. When I use the term movement in mind, you have to have something going on in mind. You have to have some kind of a movement going on if you're going to obtain something. So I'll give you an example. I had a client who came to me out of work and needed a job. He's a lawyer. And I said, what are you doing about it? He said, well, I'm waiting for these people to call me, and I'm waiting for this to happen and that to happen. Well, I said, you can just sit there the rest of your life, because waiting is, that's all you're going to get. If you think you're waiting, that's what's going to happen. You're just going to sit there and wait. You cannot wait for that or the phone to ring. You must make the phone ring. You must make something. So he said, how would I do that? I have no idea how to do that. I said, well, first of all, you have to get out of the idea that you're unemployed. You have to get out of the idea that you're not working, that you do not have a job. So I said, go and rent an office and start your own business. He said, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I said, go and rent an office. Now that's a movement in mind. Now you're taking, you're doing something. He went and rented the office. He even got a partner. They have absolutely no business. 2 weeks later, he came to see me. And he was offered a job starting at $140,000. He would have never been offered the job if he wouldn't have went and rented an office. And the nice thing about that was that he didn't have to sign a lease. It was a month-to-month thing. He put up 1 month's rent. But that showed the universe that he was serious. That showed this thing gone that he was serious, that he wanted to do something. That's a movement in mind. You have to make a movement of some sort, a movement in mind. When you sit and say to yourself, I'm unemployed, what are you going to get? Unemployed. You're not going to get employed by thinking that you're unemployed. That's the worst thing. And I hear people say, well, I'm on unemployment. I cannot abide by that I'm on unemployment. I have nothing wrong with that. You put the money in, you take the money out. But don't be. Some people are absolutely thrilled that they're unemployed. And then they wonder why they don't have a job and they keep being on unemployment. You see, that's not the right movement that we want in mind. We want a movement in mind that I am employed. That's how you have to do this. You have to start with a movement of something going on in your consciousness, in your thinking. and then the rest will follow. Everything else will fall into place. But to sit and tell yourself all the lies that you're telling, that there's no jobs out there, there's no this out there, there's no that out there, is absolutely ridiculous. I told you once, I'll tell you two things. I told you once about that I've never had a headache in my life, which is true, because my mother never had a headache in my life. Now, I'm not saying that that was genetic. I never saw her take an aspirin, and it was years, I never noticed that. It was years that she once they said to me, you know, I've never had a headache, Dallas. Because everyone else that I know carries painkillers with them for a headache. She never took a headache pill. So I never took a headache pill. So I learned that through observation, through being there. The other thing she always said to me was, Dallas, if you want to work, you'll find a job. People who are not working do not want to work. And I find that constantly. I will tell you another one. I had a client who was out of work. He was offered a job for $50,000. Now, I happen to think that $50,000 is a gracious amount of money. He did not. He said, you have to understand, Alice, I'm used to making more money than that. I said, that has nothing to do with it. You take the $50,000 job, and a better job will come along. You will come back, because once your consciousness is stretched, it's not going to go back. But you have to have a movement going on in there. He decided, he took the $50,000 job, and it was lickety-split. They loved his work, and they gave him a raise, and he was past what he used to make. You cannot do that, and I hear that with so many people. Oh, I'm used to making more. Oh, I couldn't take that job. What you're telling your consciousness is, I don't want to work. You're telling yourself, I don't want to work. You have to make a movement going on in there, and the movement is, take the job. Then your consciousness changes. So somebody walks up to you and says, are you working? Yes, I have a job. Before somebody walked up and asked him, he had to say, no, I'm not working. I don't have a job. You cannot do that to yourself. You have to have a movement going on. You have to have something. So I call it kickstarting or priming the pump. Does anyone remember the old-fashioned pump that you had to pour water down it to get water out of it? You don't remember an old-fashioned pump? You remember an old-fashioned pump? No? To get a pump, an old-fashioned pump, to work, you first had to put water down. Do you know that one? Yes. And it primes the pump. And then the water comes up from the well. You have to prime your mind. You have to make that movement in mind. It's called priming the pump. You have to do it. So, give the glass of water to get buckets and oceans full of water. People will not prime. They will not give up the cup. You have to give something to get something. Universal fact, universal law, an immutable law of the universe. You must first do something, and then you cause a movement in mind, and something will happen. So you look in your own consciousness for these movements in mind, so that you can get what you want. What do you want? What kind of a movement is going on inside of your consciousness, inside of your mind? Clean that mind out. Get rid of the worries. Get rid of the frustrations. Get rid of all the concerns and so forth. Turn that over to God. Let go. Let God, so that you become what we call a clear channel for this power to come through. you see. If you're not a clear channel, how are you going to receive? You see, if your thinking is muddy, your result is going to be muddy. You have to have a clear mind. And then something will happen. There'll be a movement going on. And then the universe will back you up in that, and you'll get what you want. Works every time. So think of that idea that you must give up something. Give something to get something, and you're going to always get more. You know, this thing called God is not stingy. If you have a stingy God, you must throw that God out and get a better God for yourself. Learn to prime your own pump. Learn to start a movement in your thinking, in your consciousness, that will give you the result that you want. And you just do that by letting go and letting God. Get rid of all those other things. You become the fun and entertainment committee. You allow God to become the ways and means committee. Because this thing called God can figure something out quicker, faster, bigger, and better than you can. Always. You will not be disappointed. We, as human beings, think, oh, well, our mind is so great, and we can do all this on our own. You know, what is that? What kind of talk is that? That has to be the ego. That has to be the bloatedness coming out in you. I say to myself, I know very little. I don't know how to do many things. But I know that God does. So I allow God to do its work. Why do you want to work harder than God? Why do you want to work harder than God? Ask yourself that question. Do you think that you know more than this thing called God? I don't think so. I don't think so. So just turn those things over. But get a movement of some sort in your mind. Now we'll go back to that idea. What you think about, you bring about. So what are you thinking all day long? What are you thinking all day long? Are you thinking abundance? Are you thinking prosperity? Are you thinking health? Are you thinking happiness, joy, prosperity? All the wonderful things about life. Or are you thinking the opposite of all those things? Are you listening to the world? Are you listening to the news? You know, I wouldn't listen to the news if they paid me to listen to the news. Because it changes. And it's only 5% of what's going on in the world. Don't listen to all that stuff. Don't be so convinced. Remember, the world is very convincing. Do not allow the world to convince you. Use this teaching, this thing that we know perfectly well. If you've been here for long enough in this class or in any of the religious science classes or science of mind classes, we know that there's such a thing called the law of cause and effect. And we know that we can use the law of cause and effect. So, use that law, you see, and learn to live at that level of consciousness, at that consciousness of cause and effect. Most people are living in the law of averages. You can live in the law of averages, you know, and you may be lucky, you see. But I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust the law of averages. The law of averages is 1 out of 10 people will come down with a fatal disease or something. 1 out of 10. And what do most people do? They think, oh, I must be the one that's going to do it. You see, that's the law of averages. You don't have to do that. If you move up in the law of cause and effect, You're the one that's doing it. You're the one that's causing those things. And you cause those things with your thinking. So just, people say, well, how do I get to the law of cause and effect? Sit down once again, use your mind, use those movements, use your imagination, and just raise yourself up. In consciousness, in imagination, how else are you going to do those things? You're going to do it that way, with this thing called imagination. Last week I said to how many people remember when we used to take our brain out, run it under the water, get rid of all that, make it nice and clear and fresh again, and then put it back in. You see? Then put it back in. Now, I'm old enough to remember this. Maybe some of you other people are, to remember that song, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. Well, why don't you wash those worries, concerns, and frustrations right out of your mind? I, in the morning, do that with my own brain, but I wake my brain up in the morning. I wake my body up in the morning. I don't wait for my body to wake up. I wake it up. How do I wake up my mind? I get in the shower. I shampoo my hair every day. And I tap. I say, come on, wake up, wake up. Come on, we've got things to do here today. Last week we talked about the crown chakra. Right there is the crown chakra. You have to have that open. You have to open that. Most people never open their chakras. There's other chakras we can open too, but right. Think of the crown chakra and open it. Do things for yourself. Now, by the way, just doing that, my whole body has come alive. See, we don't do any of those things. We don't tap ourselves all day long. We don't do tapping at all. Tapping is a very good thing for you. Wakes you up, wakes your body up, wakes your organs up. How many people wake up their organs? No, because you just take them for granted. I wake up my liver. I wake up my gallbladder. I wake up my stomach. And I certainly constantly wake up my intestinal tract. Mm-hmm. Come on. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Why do I do that? Because it's very healthy for me. I never suffer from constipation. I never suffer from acid reflux. I never suffer from all the little other things that people aren't talking about all the time, because I wake my organs up and I tell them, oh, this is wonderful. I say, oh, I love you, liver. I love you, gallbladder. Oh, thank you, stomach. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Do your job. Back here, you tap. That's for your kidneys. You wake yourself up. You have to take control of this body of yours. It's a wonderful instrument. You're living in it. So learn to use it correctly, and it will last you the rest of your life. You know, there are many doctors today who think that our bodies are made to last at least 120 years. But our bodies are made to last at least 120 years. But most people don't last 120 years because they never think of their insides. They never give thanks, I think. Oh, thanks, liver, for doing the job. Thanks, gallbladder, spleen, all that. Does anyone have a chart of their insides at home to look at and see where all your organs are located? Get a little book. They're not expensive. Get one and say, oh, there's where you are. Well, how lovely. And then do something about it. Wake yourself up. But especially, wake up your mind. You can just do this in the morning. And I really, when I wash my hair, I really, and I move my scalp, the skin, I can move it. You know, your bones still float around in there. You know, they're not solid. You can move those. It's cranial. There's a wonderful massage all about your skull. You have to wake those things up. You have to do that kind of stuff. So while you're doing that and waking up your body, then tell yourself, my mind is clear, my mind is fresh. I've left go of all these worries, concerns, frustrations. I've turned them over to this thing called God. I am letting go of all of this. I am letting go. There's an expression in the Bible that says, cast your burden. If you have a burden, a problem, or anything, cast it, like I said before, into the white light. Let it explode. It's gone. Let it explode. It's gone. Why sit there with it? Why sit with any of these things? You do not have to. All these little, call them gimmicks, call them tricks, call them techniques, call them anything, they absolutely work. But we're just never taught to do all this stuff. We're never taught to do all this stuff. We take it for granted that everything is taking care of itself. And we're taught that we have no control over our insides and over our organs and so forth. When I go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm going to take your blood pressure, I always say to him, what would you like it to be? And then I make it be that. You have that power, you have that control. What do you want your blood pressure to be instead of him telling you, or you have this, that, and the other thing? You can control those things. Well, anyway, back to the mind. Your mind is the most important thing. The body has no causation whatsoever. It's your mind that's causing it. But you have to wake your mind and your body up. You have to know that they're working in tandem with each other. Your mind gives all the signals to your body. And you don't want a sluggish mind, you don't want a sluggish body. And one of the ways not to have a sluggish mind and body is to do tapping. It's quite easy, it's quite simple. It doesn't require much. You just tap yourself. You can wake up anything. Simple technique. All right, let me do some cards. You must become the abundance that you desire. You must become what you want to be. You must become that abundance. And everyone has a different idea what abundance is. What is your idea of abundance? Is it overflowing? What is it? But you must become it. Anything that you're looking for, you must become it. If you're looking for a lover, you must become a lover. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you desire, you must become it. It is crucial that you create an inner picture of yourself already living a prosperous life, even though it's failed to materialize yet. Never, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. The whole idea in life is to keep on trucking. You know, how many people remember the story of the man who dug and dug and dug for this in the mine and never reached the gold, the Comstock gold thing? So he sold the mine. Because he said, I've dug enough. He sold it, and the guy he sold it to went in and took one pick, and there it was. And there it was. Never give up. Never give up. Why would you want to give up? It's, keep on trucking. It'll come to you. It will get there. The degree to which you think is the determining factor of how far you will rise. the degree to which you think is the determining factor of how far you will rise. What does that mean? It's your thinking that's doing it. It's not your talent, it's not your money, it's not whatever you think it is, the circumstance that you're in. It's your thinking that's determining everything, and your thinking will determine how far you rise in life. Why do people not rise up and everyone isn't as prosperous? So many of us were, but not so many of us, most of us, all of us, are conditioned. We're puppets of our conditioning. And if we're around people that only ever made $50,000, we seem to stay at that level. We seem to stay at that level. You have to think higher than the people around you, higher than your parents thought, higher than your grandparents thought. You see? But most of us don't, because we're puppets of our conditioning. And we stay in that same thing. Most people that were born in any economical group stay in that group. Very few people rise above that. You must learn to rise above that. What is the figure you have in mind? What are you thinking about? Many people are afraid to make more money than their parents made. Why that is, I don't know. Don't be afraid to make more money than your parents. Make more money than anybody. Make more money than anybody. I have a wonderful, wonderful thing that, remember I told you last week, I think, about vocabulary and how your vocabulary, the words you choose, make your reality. Words structure thought, and thought structures reality. So when you change your vocabulary, your world has to change. I was reading about Queen Elizabeth, since it's her jubilee, and they use this. She is unfathomably wealthy. Meaning, you can't estimate, you can't even think. It's beyond. It's a wonderful world, a wonderful word to add to your vocabulary and think. Well, I have more money than I can fathom. I have more money than I can fathom. How many people say that to themselves every day? Now, why don't you say it to yourself? Because your mind says, oh, but you're not. I know exactly how much money you have. Now, didn't I just tell you not to do that? You have to keep doing it till it becomes true. So think of that. This one a friend sent me. We are never deceived. We deceive ourselves. We are never deceived. Deceive ourselves. That just got in there. By changing the lower vibrational energy of your thoughts to higher vibrations, you set into motion energy that seeks to match your higher desires. It's done with energy, it's done with vibration. So if you cannot fathom how much money you have, can you see then that's a vibration going out, that's an energy going out, and that has to seek. But what you're seeking is always seeking you. What you're seeking is always seeking you. So seek this idea, and it'll start to come to you. It'll start to come to you. But if you sit around and think, well, whatever you're thinking, you're not going to change your life, you're not going to change your reality. Think of I'm always employed. I always have plenty of money. Money is always freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. Think of all those things. And you'll start to have those things. How that works, I'm not quite sure. We could say it's the law of cause and effect. But I do know whatever we put out there, it comes back to us. It comes back to us. When you spend money, how many people spend money? And Fred, I have a friend, oh God, drives me absolutely crazy. I said to her, that's a beautiful blouse. She said, well, I paid too much for it. I shouldn't have bought it. Now, who wants, you know, I paid too much for it. I should never bother. I was with her when she bought it at Steinmart. It must have been $9. Now, if that's too much money, there's something wrong with this woman. Just saying. The point is, don't do that stuff to yourself. The other point is, when you spend money, know that it's coming back to you multiplied abundantly. That it's coming back to you multiplied abundantly. Think of money as seeds that are growing. All that is going to come back to you. Don't be... I have a friend right now. Somebody owes him $400. I said, stop thinking about that guy giving you the $400 back. That's gone. Think of that $400... being multiplied and coming back to you from some other source. You see, people, we get this idea, they owe me the money. They must pay them. Well, I don't care as long as I get the money back multiplied. I don't care if that person pays me back or something else happens and I get the money. It's money, isn't it? Why do you want to do that? We're taught, oh, that person has to pay me back. Psh, forget it. I have given that more money. Now, I don't get back from that, but I always get it back from something or from somewhere unexpected. Think of those things. You've attracted into your life exactly what you've chosen to align with. You've attracted into your life exactly what you have chosen to align with. What are you aligning with? What movement is going on in your mind that you're going to align with? Prosperity, abundance, health, wealth, relationships, everything. Everything. Align your thinking with what you want. But we align ourselves with the opposite. Don't do that. Oh, this one I just love, and this is a Chinese saying. If you decide to pursue revenge, you'd better dig two graves. If you decide to pursue revenge, you'd better dig two graves. There's a horrible television program called Revenge on. I would never watch it. I would never watch such a thing. Who wants to be in that kind of a consciousness for revenge? The world teaches revenge. The world teaches revenge. You see? Years ago, over 2000 in fact, people used to think that this thing called God was revengeful. And they still, some brand name churches still teach that idea that God is revengeful. God is not revengeful. Not revengeful. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. If that's in your mind, if that's a movement in your mind, and get rid of it. Know that this thing called the universe supports you, this thing called God supports you, and when I use universe and God, they're one and the same thing. You are being supported. You are absolutely being supported. You have to know that. So, in ending, so that our dear friend Paula will not get upset, we will remember that we are whole and complete and perfect, that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter, and we will do the matter dance. I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. Yes. So, watch the movements of your mind. It's your mind that is doing everything. There is nothing outside of mind. There will never be anything outside of mind. We truly do move, live, and have our being in the mind of God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.